So a number of conversations this morning on the program and online to mark the 10th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan. It once was inevitable, really, a righteous, morally righteous-seeming consequence of the terror attacks of 2001. But a decade on from the 9/11 attacks, the overall mission seems to have been lost somehow in a full decade of fighting. It is America's longest war. From Al-Qaeda to the Taliban, the Haqqani network now, who is the enemy? What is the goal? How will we know if we've reached it? Well, to address that question, Fernando M. Lujan, a Special Forces major and a member of the Afghan HANDS program, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times as the 10-year milestone approached called "This War Can Still Be Won." Good morning, Major.
Hey, good morning.
You think the war can still be won. If I could ask you, what's the definition of winning in Afghanistan from your experience?
Yeah, from my experience, this is something that happens over a very long time scale, obviously. And my personal take on it was through the very unique mission that I was doing there, which was very close embedding with the Afghan National Security Forces. From my perspective there, I mean, I clearly can't talk outside of my lane, way up at the strategic level to a great degree, but it really was in the improvement of the National Security Forces to be able to really defend their own territory, right, to be able to reassure the population and establish a connection with the locals and villages down at that level.
And what do you think the mission should be? Should we reverse the scheduled downturn of NATO forces leaving? Should we escalate the war in some sense? Or should we focus on a development mission, an aid mission, working, as you say, at this lower level?
Well, no, actually, I think, though it might be a little counterintuitive to people that haven't been involved in working in counterinsurgencies like this, there's actually a lot of opportunity that is going to come with the drawdown in U.S. forces the way we're planning on it. The thing that happens is when you have a surge of resources and troops, there's a lot of positive things associated with that. I mean, for one, you can move into a lot of areas where you haven't been before. You know, you can kind of project force out there. You can hold more territory. But at the same time, it sort of creates some negative effects there in that it discourages in some way proper partnering, right? I mean, because you can say, if you're American forces or coalition forces, you can say, hey, you know, we can actually kind of do this all on our own. Like, we can put the Afghans in the back, and we are more capable, and we have more technology, and so why not do this thing, or at least take the lead in this effort? Now, when we draw down on resources, it forces us to look differently because we won't be able to really do it alone anymore. You know, we have to say, well, let's really relook at how we partner properly with the Afghans that are by us here. Let's think about how we put them into the lead, and let's re-engineer some of these organizations to do that, to promote that. And so these are actually good things if we recognize them for the opportunity that they present.
Now, that all sounds nice in the abstract, but what do you make of the argument that as the U.S. forces withdraw, the security apparatus in Afghanistan will crumble?
I actually would disagree with that, and that just comes from the nature of the job that I did over the last 14 months, right? I mean, I basically, our job was we speak Dari and Pashto, and so our job was to dress in Afghan uniforms and move around with these different Afghan units and spend, you know, not a cursory trip with them. I mean, to spend 2 weeks at a time going on patrols, watching the way they operate, and in many cases, watching the way they operate when there's no coalition forces around. And I'd like to share with you, I mean, there was one that really was vivid for me near the end of the trip. We went out to visit these two Afghan National Army battalions in this area called Zabul, right, a very important area in southeast Afghanistan, where actually the Taliban made its first comeback after 9/11, right? I mean, it's a really, really strategically important place for them because it's where the Gilzai and Durrani Pashtun federations are divided, and there's
right.
A lot of historical connections to the Taliban there. So, you know, if there's any place that's really important and maybe a bellwether of, you know, what might happen in the future, this is one of those places. So we spent time with these independent Afghan battalions, right, which basically had no coalition direct support with them anymore, right? And we went in there, I'll be honest, I mean, we went in there thinking that, hey, maybe we'll show up on the ground and these guys will be terrified, right? And they'll say, hey, you know, we want that coalition support back, and, you know, it'd be angry that we'd done that or that they had independent status. But we saw the opposite. You know, we went in there and they had given General Rodriguez had come down, the overall ground forces commander, had come down and given them this special flag that symbolizes their independence. And they had taken this flag and put it, you know, dead center in their operations center. And you know, the officers would go in there and the soldiers would kind of sneak by every once in a while to take a look at it. You know, you could tell there was this pride there, you know, that was a very nuanced thing, you know. And they, And, you know, they were still short on a lot of equipment. And, I mean, they don't have, you know, really many armored vehicles. I mean, they're mainly driving around in Ford Rangers. You know, they don't have the greatest equipment there. Yet we saw these guys every single morning driving up and down these roads that are extremely dangerous, right, that have IEDs all over them, that where there could be ambushes, and doing that and waving these big Afghan flags. And they're not just, you know, the way they might have been 4 or 5
sure.
years ago. Not just Tajiks, you know, their pashtuns or Hazaras, they're multi-ethnic. And so that gave me just a lot of optimism because, you know, if this is what we're starting to see in these battalions, if they're, these guys are independent and they've got a great deal of pride in that, and they're still out there doing their jobs, even though they don't have, you know, necessarily the greatest resources, you know, then maybe there's cause for
hope. Maybe there's hope. The question is, the test really is this sustainable? We're talking with Fernando M. Luján, who's a major, a Special Forces major. You've had 5 deployments, 2 in Afghanistan. Do you remember where you were 10 years ago when the bombs started to fall in Afghanistan?
I absolutely do. Yeah, I was actually brand new in the Army. I was a new infantry lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg. And at that time, that was the 82nd Airborne Division. Our big claim to fame was that, you know, we are the 911 force, you know, that if something happens in the world, that we're the people you call. And so, you know, it was always sort of an abstract reality. You know, we never really planned on doing anything of that magnitude, but, you know, we were there. We were actually the battalion on call that if something
wow.
happened, you know, we would be the ones to be alerted. And so I remember driving into work and hearing it over the radio, and we all came in, and Fort Bragg all shut down, you know, and we went in, and we were all watching it on these big television screens, you know, in the operations center. And everyone's just in total silence. But we knew that the world had completely changed, and, you know, that we were going to be at war for a long time after that. Obviously, we didn't know how long, you know, but we knew that it would be going over there soon.
And it's been 10 years from that moment at Fort Bragg. Fernando M. Luján, Army Major in Special Forces, has been twice to Afghanistan. He wrote an op-ed, "This War Can Still Be Won," thinking about the last 10 years. Major, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.